Because we were not created to be defeated. We were created to win. We were created not to be slaves, but to be free. I want to deal with that just a little bit today. You see, if in your mind, how many people knows your worst enemy can be your own mind? If your mind or your thoughts are bound, your mind or your thoughts are bound, it doesn't matter if you have physical freedom. You are a slave to your mindset. Are you catching that? You are a slave to your thoughts. And your spirit will follow suit. You can start out everything going well. There's really no problem. You look at somebody and say, is there any problem? No, I don't really have a problem except what I'm thinking. Sometimes our thoughts lead us down a treacherous path, especially if you're sick in body, because you have people that will come around and tell you, you know, you're sick. I don't think you're going to make it. I know somebody that had that same thing and they died last week. I don't need to hear that. I don't want to be a slave to those thoughts. Do you?
No,
sir. There's a lot of different areas I could take that right now. But the main thing is you have to realize that there's certain things that you can allow and you have to disallow. It's like this. If you've taken an animal and it's been caged most of its life, and you finally take them out of the cage, you're going to find out that that animal is going to be lost. It's not going to know what to do with itself. Why? Because its mentality is, I have been caged. My mentality or my mindset is that little area that I was confined to. How many of you are tired of being confined to a certain area and you want to move out? You want to broaden your horizons. You've got to get out of the mindset that I'm in a cage, because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been, in fact, set free, because we're created for more. And I refuse to be bound by those things that Jesus died on the cross for and said, I can be free from it. I refuse it. So I said, and I'm trying desperately here to put this together in an intelligent form, because I have so many thoughts. Somebody knows when you get, I have a lot of thoughts, you have to control them. Put them in order. But with your mind, you establish the path that you're going to take. With your thoughts, you're going to establish the path that you're going to take. Either one of promise or one of regret. Either one of promise or one of regret. One of excitement or one of enlightenment, or one to devastation. You see, it's all within your power. It's within your grasp. You have the ability to change your course. Nothing in life is set in concrete except that Jesus Christ died for you. Now, you say, well, Bishop, why are you saying these things? Because we can't make any mistake. The mind, our mind, my mind, will deceive you. It just will. It'll put you in a place that you do not want to dwell. That's why in 1 Peter 1:13, he says this in the New International Version. I'll read this in two versions. He said, therefore, prepare your minds for action. You got to come out of that old dull thinking, that old confined thinking, that old mindset. Watch it. Therefore, prepare your minds for action and be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And in the King James Version, it says, wherefore, and I like this one. I've preached it so many times. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind needs a girdle. It needs to be held tight. It needs to be, you need to control it. I like to say you need to control the jiggle. Because your mind will cause a lot of waves. You like that, Christian? You know your mind jiggles every now and then. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for your grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he is revealed to you, you have hope, you have freedom, you have a future. As the song says, you have a future. You were not created to tend graves. You were created for life, for the abundant life, for the more. Everybody say for more. So what should be my goal? Understanding I'm created this way, I got to get out of this slave mentality. What should be our goal? Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to have the mind of Christ. The problem is we have our mind on everything else. You understand that your mind wanders, just like yours just did. We can't allow our minds to wander. We have to stay focused. Doc, if you're going to see me and I'm your patient, I don't want you to have your mind wandering, because you may wander into an area I don't want you to wander into. If you're my tax consultant, I don't want you to be your mind to be wandering. If you're my surgeon, I don't want your mind to be worrying. I want you to be focused on the task at hand. The problem we have in ministry is facing people that are not listening to what we're saying. And you wonder, why is God not talking to us? He is. He really is. We're just not listening. Say, Bishop, why are you talking this way? Because we're a family and we're home today. And it's time to come out. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We need to be separated from those negative thoughts, those negative ways. I love that. Let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I could quote the rest of it. He was created in the form of God, yet he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. My goodness, why? Because he was, in fact, the Son of God. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. So I'm not going to allow my mind to be carried away. I'm not going to let it be carried away with those thoughts, those negativity. I don't want to hear negative things. Negatives are going to come. Negatives are going to be a part of our life. But I don't have to entertain it. I don't have to set a table placing for it. I'm not going to entertain it any longer. Because you see, when we allow this wild creature called the mind to do its own thing, it's a powerful thing. Say that. The mind is a powerful thing. It can make you sick or well, happy or sorrowful. It can do crazy things. The mind is powerful. But it can sometimes, as good as it can be, it can mislead you into a less productive and fulfilling life. Why? Because of your thoughts. Because of your thoughts. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded, that means turning your mind over to the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death. There's no life in it. Has anybody, let's just step aside here. How many of you have let your mind run away with you every now and then? I mean, really, you just let it run away with you, and you can be sitting by yourself, and your mind will take you down roads you don't need to travel, into places you don't need to entertain nor think about, but it takes you there, and you're going to have to be self-controlled enough to stop it. Amen. And say, I refuse this thought. I will not feast upon this attitude or this action. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means you're following the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, come, sweet Holy Spirit, you need to listen to what he's saying to you, because the Bible says he'll guide you into all truth. I don't know about y'all, Ewens, as the country boy said, but I need to be guided into all truth. If I'm in business, I want that truth. If I'm driving my car, I want that truth. When I got in the car this morning, I said, God, give me some truth, because I want to make it to the church today. Because he says, Why do I, just referencing the verse 6 going to verse 7, he says, because the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is an enemy against God, enmity against God. It's rubbing against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What does that mean? That means if you keep telling yourself that you're going down, God can't help you. Let's just make it clear. If you keep telling yourself, I'm going down, I'm going under, Gerald, you're going down and you're going under because you are created in the image and the likeness of God, and what you're thinking and saying has power. And it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He's not going to get involved in those negative thoughts because without faith it's impossible to please him. Am I right or wrong? So we have to start thinking properly and clearly. And sometimes we need to make our... God, help me. Sometimes we need to make ourselves happy. There's things in my life I'm not hilarious about. I looked at myself in the mirror today and I didn't laugh at all. But I'm going to be like King David. I'm going to make myself happy. It doesn't matter that war's going on around me. And let me tell you something. This nation needs happiness. Half of the West Coast is burning up right now. The other half is freezing up. Amen. We need some happiness. We need some joy. Our minds need to be set free. Quit thinking all the things that you're thinking. Quit being so... Man, I almost said a bad word there. You want me to go ahead and say it? We have become so darn negative. I'll say it that way. Am I right or wrong? Turn on the news. What do you get? Because nobody wants to watch good news. They want to watch bad news. Nobody wants to read an article about somebody doing something good. They want to read about how many women they slept with. We want to hear about P. Diddy and all the people he had involved. And it's the truth. But that does not create a fertile soil for you. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If you think you can't, then I'm going to prophesy to you. If you think you can't, then you won't. Why? Because you won't even make the attempt. Did you get that? If you think you can't, then you can't. Because you won't even make the attempt. Why didn't you go to school? Well, I couldn't have made it. Well, you're right. You didn't make it. I could never get that job. Well, did you try? No, because I know I can't get it. Are you with me now? So, see, the problem is we don't attempt it because our thoughts won't let us go there. Did you ever ask her out? No, because she'd never go out with somebody like me. You're right. She wouldn't. He would never go out with somebody like me. You're right. He wouldn't. Because that's what you are portraying. And like my granddaddy used to say, he said, and if they don't go out with you, there's a lot more fish in the sea. That's country knowledge. Wisdom. So don't get caught up in that one. Get caught up in what God can do for you. Get caught up in the good. Am I making any sense here today? Because I'm trying to put this together right here. So if we don't make the attempt, we will never know if we could do it. And that means we've been kind of a slave to those thoughts. We've been put in a cage. We don't even know how to come out of the cage. You open the door and we run to the door and look around like, say what? What's going on? It's like when I was a kid, I was just, y'all can't believe this, but I terrorized things. I mean, I was going and running. My mother said that she almost had a heart attack staying up with me. And one day they said, I was just going crazy and just doing my own thing, but I was having fun. But my daddy said to me, son, I'm going to give you 15 minutes to do whatever you want to do. And I'm thinking, woo! 15 minutes, do whatever I want to do. He said, the clock starts now. You know what I did? Nothing. I didn't know what to do. Because he had opened the door, he had opened the cage, but I did not. I didn't know what to do with it. Don't do that to me now. Oh, Jesus. So with your thoughts, you create a map. You create a destination. So whatever I think that I am is exactly what I will become. I've said that before. It's what I will be. So guard your thoughts. Everybody say, guard your thoughts. I don't want to be a slave to those things. I don't want to be incarcerated. I don't want to be held down. I'm going to give you some keys here. Be intentional about what you allow into your mind. Be intentional. You know how you lose weight? Doc, you could teach a whole course on this. Be intentional about what you put in your mouth, because it's going to go south. A moment on the lip is a lifetime on the hip. So you have to think of it, and with each bite, what is this going to do for me? My wife asked me the other day, she said, is this something about the food being good? I said, it doesn't matter. I don't eat for pleasure anymore. I eat just to live, to survive, to get the proper vitamins. You know, the older you get, you think differently, don't you? So I want to be intentional. What I allow into my mind. When I lay down in bed at night, I want to be intentional. When I watch television even, I don't let the television control me, I control it. What do you mean by that? Because I got a clicker. I'm not going to let it control me. You better not watch that, because you'll go out and do it. Now that's just foolishness. I'm going to be intentional about my thoughts, because it truly will shape my or your belief system. So be intentional. Everybody say, be intentional. See, Philippians 4:8 encourages this kind of thinking. Philippians 4:8. If we're going to overcome negativity. And this is all in dealing with, I want you to understand, we've got to come out of this mentality. Not enough. I can't make it. Now watch this. Watch Philippians 4:8. How do we overcome this negativity? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, my granddaddy would bear down on this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's wisdom there. You start thinking on the things that have value. Don't think on those things that have no value in your life. You know, we could sit and worry about getting out on the road today and we wouldn't be here. Worry won't get you here. You had to crank your car and get out on the road. Worry doesn't change a thing except your heart, because that stress will destroy your heart. Am I right? Worry. 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 So I'm going to think on these things. Everybody say, I'm going to think on these things. So when you get mad about something or you get worried about something, start thinking about something good, something pure, something honest, something of good report. Start thinking on those things. Start thinking how I'm not feeling bad today because I can feel good today. I'm going to feel good today. I'm going to feel well today. I'm going to feel whole today. I'm going to be blessed today because God says I'm blessed. So here are some ways Give me some practical things here now. You know, we always think that we have to be in this, we have to talk in a spiritual mode not to get things done. No, it's spirit if you listen to a firm foundation or good wisdom. Now watch this. Here are some ways the mind can deceive you and give you this slave mentality. Mark it down. Negative self-talk. It's not what I hear Rihanna say. It's not what I hear my wife say. Certainly not what I hear Steve say or even Dr. Carrier. I love him. But I can't listen to negative things. I'm going to go nowhere with those thoughts. So I don't want to entertain negative self-talk. Repeatedly telling myself, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go here. I can't achieve this. I'm not good enough. It creates self-imposed limitations. Self-imposed limitations, and it erodes something. What does it erode? Your confidence and your motivation. It just erodes it. It's gone. That's all about negative self-talk. It's not you saying it. It's what you're saying to yourself. But I was created for more than that. He was created for me to have a song in my heart. A prayer in my spirit. I was created to be an overcomer and an achiever. And yes, even a dreamer. God help me. So what is a solution? See, if you've got a problem, you have to have a solution. Am I right or wrong? Practice. Everybody say practice. I didn't hear you in the back. Practice positive affirmations. Practice positive affirmations. Randy, try it. Practice positive affirmations. Like what, Bishop? Like, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I was born to win and not to lose. I walk in His plan, God's plan, and He will fill all my voids. Positive affirmations. I'm a child of God, called according to His purpose. I start saying it. And more you say it, it structures or builds your belief system. What do you mean? Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, that means what troubles come, what trials come, what negativity comes, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, it's easy for me to preach it, but when you get into that situation, it's difficult because you have to use self-control and say, I will not go down that road. I'm just not going there. You listen to somebody long enough and you're doing something, and they're standing over your shoulder telling you how you can't do it, how you're not going to make it. You better be careful, better be careful, better be careful. You're going to fail. I mean, could you even imagine a surgeon having you opened up and another surgeon over shoulder saying, you ain't going to do it, ain't going to cut it, ain't going to make it. My God, get him out of the room. I like this. And all these things are more than conquerors. But how about Philippians 4:13? You know this one. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. No matter what I'm going through. Positive affirmation. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation. For we, this is a good one. For we are God's masterpiece. You are. Look at somebody and say, well, maybe not. You are God's masterpiece, Gerald. Brother Perez, you're God's masterpiece. Butch, you're God's masterpiece. Steve, you're not. You're God's masterpiece. Get that in your mind. That's the Bible I'm reading. You are God's masterpiece. He chose you very carefully. It's like a woman going into a supermarket looking at vegetables. Have you ever watched It's mostly women that do this. They're going to look at those vegetables. I'll pick up something. My wife will say, no, we don't want that one. Why? It's green. Because she sees something better because of the way they look at it. It looks, it smells, or it feels. Not us men. Yep, that'll work. You got to see God and His Spirit carefully choosing you that way. He's chosen you for a purpose. And until your purpose is fulfilled, you're gonna remain right here. I'll tell you, Pastor, I just heard this morning. He had a motorcycle wreck. See, Doc, told himself. And he died. And he said he was transported, he said, into a room of total peace. He said no pain, no suffering. It was serenity. And he said he saw a door with a light coming. You know how you'll see light coming under a door? And in his spirit, the Spirit spoke to him. He's gone. And said, that door is the door to heaven. But you can't go through it. Well, watch this next thing. He said, because I'm not through with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. Oh, Jesus. Do you understand how powerful that is? And I'm going to say this based on the Word of God to you today. He's not finished with you yet. He's got more for you to do. You say, well, I don't do that much. Believe me when I tell you, you're doing something He wants you to do. And you're going to accomplish it. But get that stinking thinking out of your mind, that slave mentality. Quit going there. You know, there are people that they always go there. It's always going there. You got to get out of that type thinking. For we are God's masterpiece. Talk about being created for more. My God, there it is right there. A masterpiece. Not just a piece, a masterpiece. Not just a portrait, a masterpiece. Not just any car, it's a masterpiece. Are y'all catching this now? You're not just any old thing. I'm reading the Word. You are a masterpiece chosen by God for His purpose. God, that's good stuff. I may preach another hour. Maybe not. For we are God's masterpiece. Why? Watch this, the rest of the verse. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. He's planned, Floyd, for you to do some good things. He said, what good am I doing? I'm just living with Randy. Well, your good thing is you're keeping him straight. Amen. You never know. You don't know. We don't know what that good thing is. But I promise you, you're going to do it. After all this that we've just mentioned, then what you have to do is challenge negative thoughts. Watch this. You have to challenge your negative thoughts with evidence of past successes. When something comes to you and says you can't make it, say, let me tell you a time that I did make it. Let me tell you a time when I was sick and I got well. Let me tell you a time when I was broke and now I got some money. Let me tell you when I only had one pair of shoes, now I got 20. I mean, make it as silly as you want, but it's true. You remember a time when everybody looked down at you, but now they have to look up at you. So, I'm going to show them evidence of past successes, Pastor Mike. Quit telling me it can't be done. Quit telling me it's over, because it's not over until it's over. What's another thing? That the way the mind deceives you into these areas. Fear of failure. The mind will exaggerate potential risk of outcomes. It'll exaggerate it. And it'll cause paralysis or avoidance of opportunities. You won't even go there. That's what I said in the beginning. You won't go there because of the fear of it. You won't play softball because you don't know if you can do it or not. You won't build that building because you don't know if you can achieve it or not. It'll cause you avoidance of a great opportunity. And I'm going to get into this next week. But avoidance of opportunities is going to keep you out of what you were created to become. Am I right, Doc? It's just fact. Avoidance of opportunities. What a phrase. But there is a solution to all this. We have to reframe failure, or these thoughts, we have to reframe failure as a learning experience and take small, manageable steps forward. Dolores, manageable steps forward. Quit trying to step. Take small, manageable steps forward. Quit trying to buy five places to do tinting windows. Do one the best. Doc, you don't need to open 25 clinics. Make your clinic the best, and then it'll start to grow from that. Does that make sense to anybody else but me? Start where you are and develop it. Everybody say, start where you are and develop it, because that's the way God will use you. That really is the truth. Manageable steps forward. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I'm not going to be fear. He said, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's not jiggling. It's not wiggling. It's sound. I can stand on it. We'll leave that one. Let's go to another point. How does it deceive us? Deception. This is something we all have to deal with. Overthinking and analysis paralysis. Oh, this is going to be good, isn't it? Overthinking. Everybody say that to me.
Overthinking.
And analysis paralysis. What is that? Constantly, not just sometimes, but constantly overanalyzing situations leads to indecision and wasted time. Because I just don't know. I keep thinking it that way and I keep analyzing it. And these people that call themselves self-proclaimed analysts, they're really not that good at it. Because, see, faith steps outside of analysis. I'm not saying don't use sound wisdom, but somewhere in there, it causes a paralysis where you can't move anymore. I overthink it. Does anybody else know or have overthought a thing until you've missed your opportunity? Don't overthink it so much, Gerald, that you miss it. Because there's good things. There's tangible things. There's things that you can accomplish if you'll just not avoid the opportunity. Don't avoid the opportunity. I hope y'all are catching some of this today. Because, again, let me restate, all that will cause is indecision and wasted time. Because you know what to do. You already know what to do. Am I right or wrong? You know what to do. You just have analyzed it so much until you've talked yourself out of it. I've done that before. I mean, we've all done it. You want to do something and you know it's right, but you overanalyze it and don't do it. Proverbs 3, this is powerful when you break it apart. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, your ability to be analytical. I'm not against that. Hear me when I tell you, I'm not pointing a finger and saying that's wrong. I'm just saying you can't control you. Where you lose your joy, you lose your happiness, you lose the impact that you could have. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If you want to know, this verse directly speaks to the dangers of overthinking and analysis paralysis. Directly. What does it do? It encourages all of us, all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in God rather than being consumed by their own thoughts and reasoning. Nothing wrong with thinking things through, but don't think it through so long that you don't get nowhere. And then by acknowledging him, God, we are promised clarity. If you read that scripture, we're promised clarity and direction, which helps overcome indecision and wasted effort. Solution. What is the solution? I'm going to set a deadline for my decisions. I'm not going to carry it on for months and months and months and months and months. I'm going to set a deadline. And then I'm going to focus on an action rather than perfect outcomes. An action instead of a perfect outcome. Because I'm going to go on record as saying today, there is no perfect outcomes. It may be palatable. It may be easy to digest. But really, the truth is, you buy a car, it's not going to be perfect. You may get in and think it's perfect. I did one day, got in a car, got it halfway down the road. It's a brand new car. It quit running. I've had that happen to me twice. Because I thought it was perfect, but there is no perfect scenario. So I'm going to have a deadline for my decision. I'm going to make this decision. Don't ever ask me to make a decision because I'm going to make it. I mean, I'm telling you, I told y'all months and months ago, a year or so ago, I had decisions to make and I made it. May not be easy. May not be palatable. Did you sit and analyze it a lot? Nope. I talked to God. Now, Lord, what would you have me do? He said, go forward. So what's another one? I'm almost there through with these, but I love it. What's the way my mind can deceive me? Here's the word, procrastination, something my wife hates. If she hates anything, it's that word and people that live it. Everybody say it, procrastination. It sounds evil, doesn't it? The mind will convince you that you'll have more time. Y'all need to listen to me. The mind will convince you that you'll have more time later, or that tasks aren't urgent, leading to delays. Now, Steve told me one time he's do something at a church. He said, it's better for me to do it, the night before. But that's not really true. Because if something happens, it's not done. And then I walk up and say, why wasn't it done, Steve? Because I'm just using Steve here. I'm not against Steve. But he does make a lot of mistakes. But you learned a lot. He said, because I thought I had more time. You don't. Well, my wife thinks if you got a job to do, get it 2 weeks before it's due. Just get it done 2 weeks before it's due. You'll always be on time if you get it done 2 weeks before. And you're still going to have mistakes. And we walked in today and one of our projectors is gone. There's no way we could have solved that problem. But Steve didn't change out the light bulbs. Because he said we'll do it later. This is all working in my message perfect. How about you moms cleaning rooms up for your little kids? I'll clean his room later on. And every day you keep saying that, you won't be able to walk in that room. Because I thought I had time. Am I making sense to anybody today? Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, now this is Bible. In the New International Version. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. That's so cool. What do we learn from this verse? The danger of waiting for perfect conditions. It's not going to happen. It'll lead to, again, unnecessary delays and missed opportunities. I'll get to it later. That's some words when it gets out of your mouth, you know you have just messed up. I'll get to it later. I thought about this early this morning in reference to this verse and the planters. Don't you say, I'm out planting the field. The field is vast. Look how big it is. I'll never get it done. Watch this. Don't get overwhelmed by the field or the size of the field you're planting, but focus on it one row at a time. When you sit down to pay your bills, and they're stacked up like this, don't get overwhelmed by the stack. Address it one bill at a time. Now, that's just common sense. That don't sound spiritual, Bishop. It is spiritual. Because life is that way. I mean, that's just the way life is. I said, well, I want to take hold of the bigger picture. That will cause you or lead you into frustration. I got to get the big picture here. Keep big picture here. It's going to lead you into frustration. But in order to gain or to achieve the bigger picture, I'm going to say something here. Probably won't sound very spiritual, especially to some of us here. You have to use something that my wife is good at. Use time management techniques. Don't waste your time. Time management techniques. A good office manager will know how to walk that walk and talk that talk. Management. Everybody say management. Like. Let me give you one that don't sound spiritual, the Pomodoro technique. Has anybody ever heard of the Pomodoro technique? Nobody? Well, I ain't going to preach no more. I'm through. The Pomodoro technique, the word Pomodoro comes from the word, it's an Italian word for tomato. And the Pomodoro technique, if you're going to go through it properly and understand the bigger picture or the vastness of the field, you start taking it, the man that devised this technique, you take the task and break them up into intervals. 25-minute intervals. And you work for 25 minutes on that and focus, and do not break focus on that 25 minutes that you're staying focused on. And then at the end of the 25 minutes, you set a timer, and then you take a rest doc for 5 minutes, and you get up and walk around, and you think, whatever, let your mind be free. Then you come back to that task or another task, which could be the second Pomodoro, then the third Pomodoro, then the fourth Pomodoro. But when you get to the fourth Pomodoro, you take 15 minutes then. The others are 5-minute intervals. The next is 15, where you refresh your mind. Notice that you cleanse and refresh your mind. Some people work themselves to a frazzle because they will not refresh their mind. They will not. Yeah, my wife says she'll forget. You don't forget nothing. So what's the clue in this? Why would you even say that, Bishop? The Pomodoro technique. It don't sound spiritual, but it really is. Because God wants us to use our time wisely. And start with a focus. Focus, everybody say focus. focus then on starting rather than perfecting. If you start out thinking you have to be perfect, you probably will never get started. Focus in such a way that you start. If you're going to run a race, you have to at least start it, right? And then I'm not going to worry about the perfecting. I'm going to let that come as it will. Life is that way. Through Jesus Christ, the Lord does the perfecting. I can't do it. He works through me, speaks to me, develops me, and then it's perfect. As long as it's perfect in His eyes, then it's okay with me.